Hello, I'm CJ Werlemann, and in this episode, we reveal how Israel's criminality has weakened and ruptured the US military and State Department to the point of threatening Israel's existence. But first, please remember to like and subscribe to our show. Now let's get into it. The United States carried out one of the greatest strategic blunders in modern history when it invaded and occupied Afghanistan and Iraq for two long decades. Because it not only drained America of its treasure and blood, but also ripped apart the fabric of American society. The architects of these wars believed that technological superiority made the US invincible, a self-belief that was shattered by the will and determination of Arab and Afghan locals who took up arms to resist their American occupiers. Today, Israel is reliving this American experience. Its blowback has only just begun. For it too believed it could bomb its way to victory in dropping 100,000 tons of munitions on Gaza for the past 16 months. But only to watch Hamas emerge from the wreckage stronger than ever, with a new generation of Palestinians eager to replenish its future ranks. Israel not only failed to achieve its military objectives, but it now finds itself viewed as a terrorist state and international pariah by its closest allies, leading former Israeli generals to predict total collapse.
כשאת בוחנת הצלחה של מלחמה, את צריכה לבדוק אם השגת את המטרות שלה. עד רגע זה לא השגנו אפילו מטרה אחת. את החטופים לא שחררנו, זו הייתה מטרת מלחמה. את העקורים לא החזרנו לבתיהם, זו הייתה מטרת מלחמה. אבל נוספו כמה בעיות מאוד מרכזיות, שגם אותם אנחנו הולכים להפסיד כתוצאה מהדרך שניהלנו את המלחמה. הכלכלה של מדינת ישראל מתמוטטת לאורך השנה הזאת, ואם נמשיך, אז זה תהיה קריסה מוחלטת. אנחנו מאבדים את החברה. יש תופעה מאוד קשה של מלחמת אחים כמעט, ימין, שמאל, דתיים וכו. בתוך הבית אנחנו מתפוצצים. איבדנו את העולם, חרמות כלכליות, אמברגו נשק, מהידידות הכי טובות שלנו.
Israel's growing economic and political isolation is exacerbated by the growing popularity of the Palestinian resistance in the United States. A popularity that's not only enjoyed by a majority of the general public, but also a majority within the US armed forces and diplomatic corps. This is an existential threat to Israel, because the State Department drives US foreign policy, while the Department of Defense enforces these foreign policy objectives. Therefore, growing favoritism for Palestine among the ranks of both institutions is a doomsday scenario for the Zionist state. A scenario perfectly narrated by a 16-year veteran of the US Air Force, who resigned to protest his government's support for Israel.
But I knew it was going to be really bad. The thing that just struck with me is like October 6th was really bad in Gaza. It's been an open-air prison for a long time. But I knew it was bad to begin with, right? And they were kind of at the total mercy of Israel. I think just the arrogance of the IDF, the people, they're posting this stuff, right? They're flaunting it, honestly. They don't care. It's just so evil. Like, Hind Rajab is like a really, my daughter's five, so it's like, that's my daughter, you know? My son he's nonverbal, has some other disabilities. The Mohammed, the boy who was killed to death by a dog, like, that's my son. I don't know if there's a way for America to come back from this in the sense of our reputation on the international stage. We've completely trashed these institutions like the International Criminal Court, the International Court of Justice, right? The UN, for the benefit of what, right? To protect someone like Netanyahu and what Israel's doing.
Today, these headlines are commonplace, as one US Army and intelligence officer after another resigns over US support for Israel, with one former major saying, "At some point, you're either advancing a policy that enables the mass starvation of children, or you're not." I like to call this the Bushnell effect, in honor of Aaron Bushnell, the 25-year-old US airman who died after setting himself on fire in front of the Israeli embassy in Washington, DC, shouting, "Free Palestine."
I'm an active duty member of the United States Air Force, and I will no longer be complicit in genocide. I'm about to engage in an extreme act of protest but compared to what people have been experiencing in Palestine at the hands of their colonizers, it's not extreme at all.
Hi, Palestine. Hi, sir, can I help you?
Aaron Bushnell's martyrdom has inspired thousands of US soldiers, airmen and sailors to either quit or seek conscientious objector status, as illustrated by Juan Betancourt, an active duty US airman who cited Bushnell in his reasons for seeking leave from the US Air Force.
Juan Betancourt could not wait to serve his country.
So you were anxious to be an airman?
I was.
Joining the Air Force 2 years ago.
I wanted to serve fellow Americans, and I also wanted to further my professional career.
But he now says he wants out of the military that he was so eager to be a part of, saying his attitude changed when fellow airman Aaron Bushnell set himself on fire outside the Israeli embassy to protest Palestinian civilian deaths in Gaza.
Moment in which I began to question my participation in the military, and it also emboldened me to speak out against the atrocities that were taking place in Palestine.
US military and intelligence officials are not only resigning in large numbers, but also using their resignation as an opportunity to attack their former leaders, like Josephine Gilboud did when she disrupted the Congressional House Committee on Veterans Affairs to condemn Congress for funding Israel's genocidal campaign in Gaza while neglecting the welfare of American soldiers.
1 year, I have watched Israel burn children alive. You don't care about veterans. You don't care about American values. You are destroying this country. Shame on all of you. May God give you the moral courage. May God give you the moral courage to do the right thing. May God give you your hearts. Please.
From the building.
Shame on you.
We need veterans from California all the way to New York to stand against what we are witnessing right now. Your voice.
These resignations come at the same time the US military is experiencing its worst recruitment crisis in 50 years, a crisis that has caused some analysts to warn that it may need to bring back the draft to replenish the rank and file. Israel's genocidal campaign in Gaza has contributed to the army's recruitment crisis because young Americans not only overwhelmingly support Palestine, but also oppose the US war machine.
This has been one of the worst years for US military recruiting since Vietnam.
The US Army faces a recruiting shortfall.
So every service really struggled this year and in this fiscal year to meet their recruiting goal.
The US State Department is suffering a similar crisis, as senior level diplomats take aim at the institution for aiding and abetting genocide. With Josh Paul, the first diplomat, to quit over Biden's refusal to halt arms transfers to Israel.
Thank you. You mentioned sexual violence. I was part of the human rights vetting process for arms going to Israel, and a charity called Defense of Children International Palestine drew our attention at the State Department to the sexual assault, actually the rape, of a 13-year-old boy that occurred in an Israeli prison in the Mosque Bia in Jerusalem. We examined these allegations. We believed they were credible. We put them to the government of Israel. And you know what happened the next day? The IDF went into the DCIP offices and removed all their computers and declared them a terrorist entity. I think it is vital.
I got an opportunity to meet and speak with Josh Paul during the Doha Forum in Qatar last month, where he explained to me how his attitude towards Israel is now widely shared by his former colleagues at the State Department. He told me that irrefutable evidence of genocide in Gaza has left no space for American or European diplomats to defend Israel's indefensible violations of international law, which is why we are seeing a massive crisis of conscience within the top diplomatic agency. His sentiment was shared by Hala Rarit, who ended her 18-year career at the State Department by citing her government's total disregard for Israel's criminality.
This has been different. It has been silence, and let me tell you, it has sent a chilling effect across the entire, I can speak about the Foreign Service. People have become to self-censor themselves. They're worried, and that hurts us as Americans, because when you have your experts, your U.S. government experts silencing themselves because they're worried about retribution or they're worried about what it will do to their career, we all lose. We lose as American citizens. It doesn't keep us secure. It doesn't keep us safe.
The Palestinian resistance has not only succeeded in helping Americans understand how their tax dollars are siphoned to Israel to fund endless violence and bloodshed in the Middle East, but also how this money is diverted away from the needs of the American people at home. which has left the country's infrastructure, education, and healthcare in a state of catastrophic decline. The American story today does not invoke a shining city on a hill, but rather a dystopian nightmare in which cities are hollowed out to ruins as a record share of the population succumbs to addiction, depression, suicide, and gun violence. But the money to fix these problems is funneled to Israel, and Americans are finally waking up to this unwanted cost. This changing American political environment promises to put a stop to Israel receiving blank check support from US taxpayers. The gravy train has run dry. So much so that Kamala Harris' refusal to break with the Biden administration on Israel's relentless assault on Gaza cost her the election, as revealed in this newly released survey, which found 30% of 19 million people who voted for Biden in 2020 but sat out 2024 named US support for Israel as the top reason for not voting. 30% of 19 million is nearly 6 million voters. Well, Trump won by a margin of only 2.5 million votes. These changing American attitudes towards Israel is why Trump has suddenly adopted a more friendly tone towards Palestine and a harsher tone towards Netanyahu, even sharing a video in which the Israeli leader is called a deep, dark son of a bitch. Now watch Netanyahu's face when Trump says Palestinians deserve a better life.
I was saddened by the fate of the Palestinian people. They deserve a far better life. They deserve the chance to achieve their extraordinary potential. Palestinians have been trapped in a cycle of terrorism, poverty, and violence, exploited by those seeking to use them as pawns to advance terrorism and extremism.
We must continue to fight for Palestine, and we must recognize that the battle has only just begun. A temporary ceasefire is exactly that, a temporary cessation in violence. A permanent end to war and bloodshed can only be achieved when the Zionist occupation is permanently ended. This is the goal. The total liberation of Palestine is what we must strive for. But that's my time for today. Please don't forget to subscribe to the channel, and we kindly ask you please support our effort to expose and confront injustices in the Muslim world by becoming a member of this show at patreon.com/CJWerlerman. We can't produce, sustain, and grow the show without your help, and we offer exclusive benefits to those who do. But for now, good evening, good morning, wherever you are, and stay blessed.